My text this evening is Romans chapter 6. So you need to go to Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 15 to verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul that is speaking to us, and the title to my sermon is called Slavery, the bondage of slavery. Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 15. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Slavery is a terrible word. To be a slave means that you belong to someone else. A slave is not his own. A slave serves someone over him called a master. In our text, the Apostle Paul tells us that the whole world is in slavery. People will no doubt reject this teaching and self-confidently argue, I'm not a slave to anyone. I am my own master. But to think like that, congregation, is not true. It shows a spiritual blindness. It shows that the person doesn't properly understand what has happened to the human race. You need to step back for a moment and honestly think about your life. Why, for example, is there such heartache and tragedy and hurt and violence and evil in the world today? Why do people murder? Why do they lie? Why do they cheat? Why are they cruel? Why are they proud? Why do they kill? And why do they beat up their children? And why do you think evil thoughts and jealous thoughts and lustful thoughts and malicious thoughts in your heart? And to be able to answer these questions, we first need to hear and understand the gospel. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. Humanity, we are told, is in slavery to sin. Now you might ask, how is this possible? Well, we need to go back to Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible, in order to understand what has happened to the human race. We call this the doctrine of original sin. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve without any sin. Our first parents were made perfectly righteous by God, and they enjoyed unbroken fellowship with God. But then the Bible tells us that the devil tempted Eve to disobey and mistrust God, and she, against the strict prohibition of God, ate the fruit of the tree which she was commanded expressly not to eat. And because of this sin, Their nature was immediately corrupted, and they were declared guilty by God. Every part of their nature was affected by the guilt and the pollution of this sin. As a result, we're told in the Bible that God expelled them from his presence. And because of their disobedience, they were made subject to the curse of the law. And so we can't, congregation, blame God today and say that his judgment is unfair. Man brought upon himself his own fall because he refused to obey God. But congregation, we need to go even a step further in order to understand our sinfulness. As parents, Adam and Eve passed their sinful nature onto their children. No one can be born neutral or apart from the nature of their parents. Just like we all have our parents' genes and we share in some of their characteristics, so too Adam's sinful nature has spiritually been passed on or transmitted to every individual. So that now, as human beings, we are all born with a sinful heart and with a sinful disposition. Think about this honestly. No one has to teach a baby to sin or to be selfish or to have a tantrum. We sin simply because that is the nature of our heart. Sin has given the devil place in our lives so that now we have become his subjects. The ruler of this world is the devil, and he now uses sin as a lever to keep us in bondage and to control our lives. He uses sin to cause the misery and the contradiction that we experience in our lives. And that's why Paul the Apostle says in verse 17, we were slaves to sin. To be a slave to sin means that you obey the dictates of sin. In verse 16 we read there, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey. What a dreadful truth. To think that we are not actually free as we would like to think we are. That we are being controlled by a sinful nature and that we belong to Satan. How do you know that you are a sinner? Well, in verse 16b it says, you are a slave to the one whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death. The answer is, you know that you are a sinner because you are busy dying. Death is part of God's judgment on sin. It is part of God's curse on sin. When God initially made Adam and Eve, he didn't create death, but life. And in Romans 6:23, we're told there that the wages of sin is death. And as a result, we are all busy dying. And the word death here is not just referring to physical death. It's referring primarily to spiritual death, to hell, to eternal separation from your Creator. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, God says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. In the Hebrew it literally says there, dying, you shall die. As a slave of sin, you cannot enter into heaven or live in the presence of a holy God. Think about that. Why not? Because God is holy. He is a consuming fire, and he cannot compromise on sin and evil. God is perfect in his justice and righteousness, and he must remain true to his person. Just think if God was untrue to his character. What then would the consequences be? For starters, he would then become like the devil. He would not be able to be trusted because he would not necessarily stick to a perfect standard of righteousness. If God had to act in an arbitrary way, that would be devastating for us, because then we would have no hope of eternal life. We would then be subject to the whims and capricious character of a liar, a joker, or a dishonest person. We would be subject to a God who compromises on his own character. We would have no assurance of a secure future and of what is right and what is wrong. But God forbid. God is not like that. The Bible reveals to us the character and the attributes of our God. That's why God has given us this book. We can read this book and we can find out for ourselves what kind of God this is that speaks to us this evening. He is a God who is perfectly holy and just, and his nature is one of pure, holy love. He cannot lie and compromise on his righteous standards because of who he is. He is God Almighty, Jehovah, the Creator God of the heavens and the earth. In God, the Bible tells us, there is no darkness, there is no untruthfulness, there is no injustice, and there is no shadow of turning. God's nature guarantees all his actions. As the Creator and judge of his creatures, he has declared the sinner guilty in his sight. He says the soul that sinneth must die. Notice God doesn't say the body that sins must die. We know that our bodies are going to go to the grave. God says the soul that sins must die. This death is to face the eternal punishment of an offended God. You have disobeyed his law, which makes you a transgressor. You have offended an infinitely holy God by choosing to live apart from him and by openly rejecting his truth as revealed in the Bible. And this is actually what it means to be a sinner. A sinner is one who rebels against God and against his word. In 1 John 3 verse 4, John the Apostle says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." The sinner disbelieves and refuses to submit to the truth of God as he has revealed himself in Scripture. We, congregation, are not sinners because we have done a sinful act. No, we are sinners because we are born with a sinful nature, with Adam's fallen nature. The Westminster Confession of Faith puts it like this: from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good, and wholly inclined to all evil, do proceed all actual transgressions. In other words, it's saying our transgressions, our sinful acts, proceed out of a corrupt nature. Not only are we transgressors, congregation, but you need to realize this evening that we also stand guilty before God. To be guilty before God means that we are liable to punishment. The idea of punishment doesn't and shouldn't surprise us, because this is the reality of human life. For example, if you break the law in this little province of Tasmania, then you will be punished. In court, you will be found guilty of a transgression, and the judge will pass sentence on you, and you will be punished accordingly. Just this week on the television, I heard of a 21-year-old man who set fire to a building in Hobart, and he was found guilty by the magistrate, and he was punished to 6 years imprisonment. This standard of justice, of what is right and what is wrong, is part of God's creation order. And that's why when you, for example, hear of a serial pedophile or a mass murderer, then you know what that person has done is evil, and you wish that he be sentenced and be punished accordingly. Everyone thinks like that when they hear these evil acts. That's why when someone bullies your child or falsely slanders your name, it hurts you and offends you because you know inside of you what is right and what is wrong. A standard of right and wrong is part of our constitution. It is part of our conscience because God has made us like this because we are made in His image. Now, I want you for a moment to imagine how God feels. As a transgressor, you are willfully defying God's law to His face. The lawgiver Himself is being disobeyed. The sinful human nature dislikes the idea of guilt and finds it offensive and so refuses to admit that he or she is a sinner. But congregation, God knows this about our fallen nature. He knows the deceitfulness of our hearts. And so God gives to us His law to show us that we are sinners. Realize this evening that God didn't give us His law to save us by it. No. As sinners, no one can perfectly keep His commandments. Rather, God's law shows us that we are sinners and that we are without excuse. Romans 3:20, Paul says, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Romans 7 verse 7, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. Let me give you a few examples of how the law works. God says, for example, you shall not steal. Have you ever taken anything unlawfully in your life? Something that doesn't belong to you? Perhaps a company pen? Or perhaps you've held back on your tax returns? Well, that makes you a thief and a liar in the eyes of God. Have you ever had evil, unloving thoughts towards another person? Have you? Just once. Perhaps you had critical, judgmental, spiteful, loveless, malicious thoughts in your heart. Well, in God's eyes, that makes you a murderer. But you might say, I haven't actually physically killed anybody. But realize, friend, God defines sin according to His own standard and His own character. He is not asking you to define sin. God looks on the heart of a person to see the essence of sin. What about jealousy? Are any of you jealous or selfish? Well, the 10th commandment says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Jealousy and selfishness is covetousness. What about adultery? Have you ever entertained a lustful thought towards another person? Well, the 7th commandment says, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Likewise, if a woman dresses alluringly and entices a man, that's adultery. And so I can carry on. From the law, we immediately realize that we have not done what God has commanded and that we are, in actual fact, transgressors. Just the few transgressions I've mentioned already makes us adulterers, idolaters, murderers, thieves, and liars, and that before a holy God. And that's what we all are by nature. Don't be surprised by this. This is the nature of Adam's offspring. And so, friend, do you still think this evening that you'll be able to plead innocence before a righteous God? So what's the answer to our sinful predicament? Well, the answer is found in the gospel. In verse 17 of our text, Paul writes, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. See, the doctrine here that was given to them is the gospel. The good news is that God saves His people by dealing with their sins. The way that God did this was by sending Jesus Christ into the world to make atonement for our sins. His Son willingly came to earth and stood in the place of the sinner. Jesus Christ died as a substitute on the cross. A substitute means in our place. Theologically, we say that his death was vicarious. You've heard that word? To be vicarious, it means in our place. But not only was his death vicarious, it was penal. In other words, he bore the penalty of our judgment and the punishment for our sins in his own body on the cross. He died in the place of all those who would believe in him and commit their life to him as their Lord and as their Savior. Jesus promises that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, the Lord says, I will never drive away. John 6:37. God promises to receive every repentant sinner that comes to him in faith. Paul the Apostle Paul says the same in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. The reason why you believe in Jesus and believe his message and you come to him in faith is because God works this truth in your heart. And then in the same chapter, Jesus goes on to say in John 6:47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Jesus can legally promise this to the believer because he stood in their place. As our substitute, Jesus bore our punishment, our curse, our judgment in his own body on the cross, so that now God does not find the person who believes in Jesus Christ guilty. The gospel teaches that Jesus died to save us, so that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus died to bring us back to God and to give to us everlasting life. Remember, friends, Jesus wasn't crucified because he did anything wrong. The Bible tells us Jesus was guiltless. He was pure. He was innocent. He was holy, and he was undefiled. Rather, Jesus willingly offered himself up in the place of his people so that they might have everlasting life. And so to have this life, you have to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The Christian is a person who has been set free from sin. In verse 22, Paul says, but now, what important but that is, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. No longer do we submit to our sinful nature, but we now, as Christians, have a desire to love Jesus and to serve him and to obey him and to be holy. God has given to us a new heart. The Holy Spirit has come and now lives inside of our hearts, and he helps us to serve the Lord and to please the Lord. Listen, friend, there are only two groups of people in this world. Only two. Which one are you? A slave of sin and of the devil is the one group, or a slave of God? To belong to God, you have to come to him in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to come to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Apart from Jesus, no one can be saved. And I entreat you this evening, listen to what I'm saying. Because the message that I'm proclaiming to you is not the message of Andre Skeppers. This is the message of God. This is the gospel of God. Why choose to perish? Why turn your back on the Savior when you know that you are a guilty sinner and that you know Jesus has opened the way for your sins to be forgiven? That's what he says in Luke 5:32. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To be saved, a person first has to acknowledge that he is a sinner. And he has to turn to Jesus by faith. And he has to cast himself on the mercy of God for the forgiveness of his sins. He has to look to Jesus for the gift of eternal life. This evening, Are you a slave to sin, which leads to death? Or are you a slave to God, which leads to everlasting life? This, friend, is the gospel. Amen.